produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. And as always, we've had an incredible week of activities and events and things that have just been spiritually uplifting, and it's been a good week. So I hope for you that you've had a great week as well. This week, I would like to talk a little bit about the value of work. I've noticed that we live in an age where we have so many distractions, especially for our children, where there is a great need in the land, if you will, to teach young children and teenagers especially the value of work. Work is something which is becoming less and less appreciated. You know, parents seem to think that it's their duty to give their children everything they possibly can. Some parents try to compensate for the time they spend at work rather than in the home by spoiling their children with material things. Unfortunately, the effects of these actions on both parents and children are negative and are becoming a real problem. If you have been handed everything all your life, consider some of the following points, and maybe you can make some good changes in your life now, which will affect the rest of your life. So this message may seem to be a little dry, perhaps, but I hope to make this of interest for everyone. Now, I can appreciate that in my generation, and for me specifically, I was raised in a home where my parents had adequate income for the household. I was an only kid. And a lot of people say, oh, an only kid, that meant you were spoiled rotten. Well, yeah, I had a lot of privileges and a lot of benefits by being the only kid. But my parents had, they were doing ministerial work. So our household income wasn't always consistent and it wasn't always large. I do remember as a kid, though, that it seemed like as it got the darkest before the storm, that the sun always rose and the sun came out, and there was a great blessing just at the last possible moment. So never remember going hungry. I do remember there was an occasion where in the middle of winter, for some reason as a young teenager, I remember that we had our electricity turned off, and I made the mistake of trying to take a quick shower. That was a mistake that I never repeated. But having said that, I don't remember being deprived of really the necessities of life, but I remember that I had instilled in me a desire to do some things on my own. And I remember at the age of 14, I saved up money from the work I had been doing in the neighborhood with neighbors in terms of painting gutters, cleaning out gutters, shoveling snow in the wintertime, just odd jobs of one kind or another. And I saved up my own money. And at the age of 14, I bought a gas-powered lawnmower. Now, we did not have a lawnmower. Actually, we had one of those old-fashioned metal clipper rotating blade things that was a push mower, not power, but a push mower. And the blades were rusty and they were dull. And it was almost impossible to cut grass with that thing. So I seem to remember that my dad had had a neighbor kid that was cutting our grass from time to time. But it became obvious to me that cutting grass and doing yard work was a good way to earn income. Like I said, I saved up my money, and at the age of 14, I bought my own my own gas-powered lawnmower, and embarked on, now that I look back on it, using today's vernacular, you could say I went into the landscaping business at the age of 14. Now, this was in the mid-60s, early 60s, and, you know, the pay for cutting grass in those days dramatically differs from today. A typical yard, small yard, if you will, might be a grand total of a couple of dollars, maybe $2.50. And if it was a bigger yard, maybe $3 was what you would make cutting grass. And I remember so well that one of my very first lawn mowing jobs, my dad had a friend who was in the real estate business, and he had a home for sale that had sat on the market for quite a while, and apparently in the previous season, the grass had never been cut. And so I was given the opportunity to cut the grass for this high, overgrown yard, and was offered the grand sum of money of $20, which I thought was a fortune, because I remember saving up my money, and if I remember correctly, I think I spent about $40 or $45 for that lawnmower at the time, which was a lot of money. But to be able to recoup almost half of that total in one job seemed like an offer that was too good to be true. As it turned out, that yard cutting job took me 3 days, and it was a lot of work because there was rocks and bottles and trash and debris. And the grass was tall and matted. It was a lot of work. I earned that $20. I thought at some point I was going to destroy my brand new lawnmower because of that yard, but it survived, and I survived. And throughout the rest of my teenage years, and even into my early college days, I continued to cut grass and make money. Now, that also led to other opportunities to make money as a teenager, but at the age of 16, I had the opportunity to go to work for a major grocery chain as a bag boy, making a grand total of $1.65 an hour. And I thought it was kind of interesting that even as a bag boy working for this grocery chain, I had to become a member of the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union and pay union dues. Now, I was very aware that the meat cutters made a whole lot more money than us bag boys, but that's okay. They were career men who, and perhaps women, but I don't remember any female meat cutters in those days, but they were supporting families, and I understood that. Later on, I had the opportunity to go to work for the post office, and there was a period of time in my college years when I was actually working three different jobs and going to school full time. And I won't go into all of those details, but let's just say I learned at a very young age the value of work. Now, today, society is telling us that there are so many fun things to have. Technology is growing and developing at an unimaginable rate, and the media tells us that to be happy, we must have it all, and we must have it now. Parents are getting sucked into this. They buy lots of toys. They want to buy large houses and drive nice cars, but that takes a lot of work. More than ever before, both parents in the home are working full-time jobs to support their lifestyles. This means that more parents are spending the good part of their days in the workplace instead of with their families, who then is taking care of their children, either daycare facilities or, if children are old enough, nobody. Either way, children are not being nurtured in the home as much as they need to be. Many parents feel that it is a greater obligation to provide new name brand clothes, cell phones, cars, game systems, entertainment systems, and whatnot, than it is to spend time with their children, to teach them values in the home, to show their children love. If you can recognize some of your own experience in this description, maybe it's time to make a change. Work is an eternal principle. It has an amazing influence over us. You know, I think about Heavenly Father with his first children, Adam and Eve, and how they were basically kicked out of the nest and if you will, out of their Heavenly Father's basement, and became responsible for earning their own livelihood, sustaining themselves, as it says in the scriptures, by the sweat of his brow. And so that principle of work is biblical and is from the beginning of time, if you will. The laws of nature say that you cannot have something for nothing. However, society is telling us that this is not true. We are encouraged to think that we are entitled to whatever we want with no thought of working for it. This is the very mindset which has driven the world's economy to almost tremendous downturn. If you are ever offered something for nothing, it is a deal that is simply too good to be true. It may seem like a great setup for now, but there's always a price to be paid, whether that price is paid now or later. And if the price is paid later rather than sooner, it is always a higher price. There is more than honesty involved in the principle of work. It is a fact that after you've earned your money, your own money, you value it more. You know how much work and effort it has taken to earn a certain amount of money. Once you yourself have put the work in, you will not be so likely to spend your money on frivolous things. You will learn that you cannot have everything, and you will learn to set your own priorities. The value of hard work is one of the most valuable lessons parents can teach their children. However, do not think that it is too late for you to learn the value if you have not been taught in your own home. Age limits for working are different in some states, but as a general rule, 14 or 15 is old enough to work at least part-time. If you get a part-time job and spend only that amount of money on the extras in your life, clothes, entertainment, cell phones, etc., you will begin to appreciate the things you have much more, and you will be happier. Now, that's a message you could tell that's being aimed at young people. So adapt that to your own life, your own circumstance, with your own children, and with your own grandchildren. The satisfaction that comes from earning your own way is indescribable. This does not mean that you should drop out of school to work, because education is also very important. The satisfaction of a job well done applies to far more than physical labor. Though, if you have a good work ethic, that principle will be applied to whatever you undertake, whether that is a job, schoolwork, personal projects, or helping those around you. Learning the value of hard work early in life will help one shape the rest of their future. Appreciation for what they have and for what others have done to provide for them can only come by working oneself. Parents certainly have the responsibility for providing the basic necessities of life for their children, and many would argue that parents also have a responsibility to provide what joy in life they can for their children. But children will never be fully able to appreciate the sacrifices their parents have made for them until they learn to work themselves. The value of work does not necessarily have to be learned through a formal job. Children can be given responsibilities around the home to work for allowances or privileges. The principle of the matter is that one is not given everything for nothing. One's work ethic is something that they will carry with them throughout their entire life, and which will affect nearly every aspect of one's life. If you want to truly be happy, then you need to make sure you have a good work ethic. Put your best effort in and gain an appreciation for the blessings of work. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in that little passage there that I've shared, and it's important that parents take on the responsibility of teaching in the home their children the importance of doing chores, working, and instead of perhaps just giving them an allowance just simply because it's a weekly expectation, or necessarily buying everything that is beyond the necessities. One of the principles I've seen demonstrated by a number of individuals that seems to have worked rather well is that you establish with chores in the home, perhaps as a parent, you establish a mutually agreed upon pay scale. Now, obviously, it's probably not going to meet the federal government or state government minimum wage laws. But for younger children, when they earn their own money and are given the opportunity to spend their own money, they will tend to have a much greater appreciation for money than they would otherwise if everything is provided for them. And so consequently, having the opportunity to do chores and to receive either a financial benefit or special privileges is something that should be taught in the home very early. I remember during the recent experience during the 7 weeks that we had our granddaughter with us, whenever we get the broom and the dustpan out to sweep the kitchen floor, little Ruby was right there. She wanted to have that broom and she wanted to help. Now, needless to say, what she accomplished was not a very productive chore, but the fact that she wanted to help, we gave her that opportunity to do what she thought she was doing to help. And I'm sure it was a good experience in teaching her that she can contribute even at the age of 2.5. Now, did she fully understand all of that? I don't know. I have a feeling she may have understood a lot more than we may think. But I guess my point here is that it's never too early to start teaching the principle of work and giving children that opportunity within the home. As we do this, we'll be able to teach and prepare our children that will prepare them for life. I remember reading recently some comments from Dave Ramsey, the great financial guru, in an interview between he and his daughter. And let's see here. He says, "Our culture has made many wonderful advances to ensure the safety and well-being of children. But we may have taken this too far. Many parents today are so centered on what their children want that they have lost perspective on what their children really need. Perspective, looking at life over time, demands that you teach your children to work. Teaching a child to work is not child abuse. We teach them to work not for our benefit, but because it gives them both dignity in a job well done today and the tools and character to win in the future as adults. You should view teaching your children to work in the same way you view teaching them to bathe and brush their teeth as a necessary skill for life. An adult who has no clue how to tackle a job and finish it with vigor is as debilitated as an adult with green teeth and body odor. If your child graduates from high school and his only skill set is playing video games, whining, copying an attitude of entitlement, and eating junk food, you have set him up to fail." Sad to say, but those are wise words from Dave Ramsey. Now, another huge benefit of teaching a child the wonder of work is that he or she will tend to lose respect for people who refuse to work. Why is this good? It is good because you want your daughter or your son to marry Mr. or Mrs. Wright, not Mr. or Mrs. Lazy. Dave says, "We noticed quickly that our daughters and our son didn't pursue relationships with people who didn't know how to work. This is great news because someday you may have grandkids and you want both of their parents to be productive so your grandkids get to eat." I thought that was a bit humorous, but very, very, very wise counsel. Now, in the process of teaching our kids to work and to earn their own income, their own money, if you will, there's a lot of principles that should be taught in that process as well, because teaching children at an early age the proper management of money, again, will help prepare them for life. If you don't teach your kids how to manage money, somebody else will. and that's not a risk you want to take. Here are some ideas that might be helpful. So as you take kids at different ages, for example, how to teach preschoolers and kindergartners about money. Use a clear jar to save. The piggy bank is a great idea, but it doesn't give kids a visual. When you use a clear jar, they see the money growing. Yesterday, they had a dollar bill and five dimes. Today, they have a dollar bill, five dimes, and a quarter. Talk through this with them and make a big deal about it growing. Second, set an example. A study by the University of Cambridge found that money habits in children are formed by the time they're 7 years old. Think about that, 7 years old. Little eyes are watching you. If you're slapping down plastic every time you go out to dinner and the grocery store, they'll eventually notice. Or if you and your spouse are arguing about money, they'll notice that too. Set a healthy example for them, and they'll be much more likely to follow it when they get older. And third, show them that stuff costs money. You've got to do more than just say, that pack of toys cost $5, son. Help them grab a few dollars out of their jar, take it with them to the store, and physically hand the money to the cashier. This simple action will have more important impact than a five-minute lecture. This reminds me of a conversation I had with our grandson several years ago. He was commenting about he wanted his mom to buy him a certain type of an automobile. It was a very expensive automobile. I don't remember the exact figures, but when I gave him the cost of the automobile, he looked at me like, so? So then I did the math and I said, well, that automobile, if you equate that to how many Happy Meals at McDonald's that automobile would cost, here is the summary. And I believe it was something like, if he would eat a Happy Meal every day for breakfast, every day for lunch, and every day for dinner, it would take over 100 years for him to consume enough Happy Meals to pay for that car. It was a several hundred thousand dollar automobile, obviously. But at $5 a Happy Meal, that's a lot of Happy Meals. And so when I shared that with him, his eyes got big and he shook his head and said, I understand now. So equating at an early age the value of money to a child is very important. Now, there are other principles here of how to teach an elementary student and middle schoolers about money, teenagers, and so forth. And I'll kind of run through these quickly here as we're getting near the end of our show time. How to teach elementary students and middle schoolers about money. One, show opportunity cost. That's just another way of saying, if you buy this video game, then you won't have the money to buy that pair of shoes. At this age, your kid should be able to weigh decisions and understand the possible outcomes. Next, give commissions, not allowances. Don't just give your kids money for breathing. Pay them commissions based on chores they do around the house, like taking out the trash, cleaning their room, or mowing the grass. I remember talking with some folks who actually take motivational books and educational materials that are not part of their school curriculum, and they actually pay their children to read those books. It does two things. The child earns money, and the child gains valuable principles and life skills from the reading process. Also, avoid impulse buys. Mom, I just found this cute dress. It's perfect and I love it. Can we buy it, please? Does this sound familiar? This age group really knows how to capitalize on the impulse buy, especially when it uses someone else's money. Instead of giving in, let your child know they can use their hard-earned commission to pay for it, but encourage your child to wait at least a day before they purchase anything over $15. It will likely still be there tomorrow, and they'll be able to make that money decision with a level head the next day. Next, stress the importance of giving. Once they start making a little money, be sure you teach them about giving. They can pick a church, a charity, or even someone they know who needs a little help. Eventually, they'll see how giving doesn't just affect the people they give to, but the giver as well. And quickly here, as we talk about teenagers, teach them contentment. Your teen probably spends a good chunk of their time staring at a screen as they scroll through social media. And every second they're online, they're seeing the highlight reel of their friends, family, and even total strangers. It's the quickest way to bring on the comparison trap. You may hear things like, "Dad, Mark's parents bought him a brand new car. How come I have to drive this 1993 Subaru? Mom, this girl at school got to spend $10,000 on her sweet 16 party. I want to do that too." Contentment starts in the heart. Let your team know how that their Subaru, although not the newest car on the block, is still running well enough to get them from point A to point B, and you can still throw a memorable milestone birthday party without spending a chunk of your retirement savings funding it. Next, give them the responsibility of a bank account. By the time your kid's a teenager, you should be able to set them up with a simple bank account if you've been doing some of the above things along the way. This takes money management to the next level and will hopefully prepare them for managing a much heftier account when they get older. Get them saving for college. There's no time like the present to have your teen start saving for college. Do they plan on working a summer job? Perfect. Take a portion of that or more and toss it in the college savings account. Your teen will feel like they have skin in the game as they contribute toward their education. Next, teach them to steer clear of student loans. Before your teen ever applies to college, you need to sit them down and have the talk. How are we going to pay for college talk? Let your teen know that student loans aren't an option to fund their education. Talk through all the alternatives out there, like going to community college, where in Tennessee, the first 2 years is paid for by the state. Going to an in-state university, working part-time while in school, and applying for scholarships now. So getting good grades during high school is very important. While you're at it, get this graduate student guide for them. Teach them the danger of credit cards. As soon as your kid turns 18, they'll get hounded by credit card offers, especially once they're in college. If you haven't taught them why debt is a bad idea, they'll become yet another credit card victim. Remember, it's up to you to determine the right time you'll teach them these principles. Get them on a simple budget. Since your teen is glued to their mobile device anyway, get them active on a simple budgeting app, and there's plenty of them out there. Now is the time to get your teen in the habit of budgeting their income, no matter how small it is. They should learn the importance of making a plan for their money while they're still under your roof. Next, introduce them to the magic of compound interest. We know what you're thinking. You can barely get your teen to brush their hair. How in the world are they supposed to become investment savvy? The earlier your teen can get started investing, the better. Compound interest is a magical thing. Introduce your teen to it at an early age, and they'll get a head start on preparing for the future. Next, when you think about it, teenagers have plenty of free time. Fall break, summer break, winter break, spring break. If your teen wants some money, and what teen doesn't, help them find a job. Better yet, help them become an entrepreneur. These days, it's easier than ever for your teen to start their own business and turn a profit. Teaching your children about money at any stage is going to take time on your part. It won't always be easy, but if you want your children to know how to successfully manage their money when they get older, taking the time now will be worth it. So I would encourage all of us to start young, teach the value of work, teach the value of managing money and budgeting. I know that it will make a huge difference. I wish we had done a better job in the rearing of our own children. But you know, in spite of a few bumps along the way, they have learned valuable lessons, and they're doing very well for themselves. And for that, we're very happy for them. I testify to you that the value of work is a godly principle, and that when we teach this principle to our children, they will be better, they will be happier, and therefore we will be happier. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.